Today's shiur is Masechet Makos Daf Tezvav. We will begin on Daf Yud Dalet Amud Beis, 5 lines from the Y lines. Our Mishnah had discussed a person who's a Tamei she'ochel as a Kodesh. And somebody who's Tamei who ate Kodesh is one of the Isurim mentioned in our Mishnah. And so too did the Mishnah mention somebody who enters the Beis HaMikdash when he is Tamei. Says the Gemara, Bishlam Habalam Migdash Tamei. Somebody enters the Beis HaMikdash as he's Tamei. Ksiv Einish V'Ksiv Hazhara. We know Ein Einshim El Mekem Asherim. Every Isser in the Torah has both a pasuk that teaches us the Azhara, the Lav, and teaches us the Einish. And says the Gemara, the Isser for somebody who is Tamei to enter the Beis HaMikdash, the Torah is explicit in both mentioning the Einish and the Hashara. Einish Diksiv Es Mishkan Hashem Timei V'Nechrasa, and the Hashara it says V'lo Yitama Es Machneim. However, asked the Gemara, Ela Tamei Shachlos HaKodesh, the Isser for somebody who's Tamei to eat something that's Kodesh, Bishlam Einish, the Einish, the punishment for such an Aver Iksiv, the Torah says V'Nefesh HaShatoichel Basim Zavach Hashlamim Hashel Hashem V'Tumasa Alav V'Nichrasa. So the pasuk is very clear that somebody who does such an Avera is Chayiv Karis. However, ask the Gemara, as Horaminayim, which pasuk teaches us the Lav for this Isser? Rish Lakish Amma answers Rish Lakish. He learns this from the pasuk that speaks about a woman who became Tamei through childbirth, and the pasuk says b'chol kodesh leisiga v'lamigdash leisava. And he uses this pasuk to teach us that the pasuk of b'chol kodesh leisiga is coming to teach us that tamei person may not eat kachim. And how he learns it and why he learns it from this pasuk, we're going to explain soon. Rabbi Yochanan, however, quotes Tani Bardala. He quotes the Tana Bardala who said, "Ask you tumasai tumasai." He learns it with Xeris Shava. Ksiv Hacha, it says here, V'tumasa Olav V'nichrasa, regarding somebody who's Tamei, who eats Kachim, we just quoted the Pasuk, it says V'tumasa Olav V'nichrasa. V'ksiv Hasam, and the Pasuk says, regarding someone who's Tamei entering the Beis HaMikdash, Tamei Yiyah Oid Tumasa Ba, Mala Halon, just like someone who enters the Beis HaMikdash when he's Tamei, as we said at the beginning of our shir, the Torah established that there's an Einish and there's an Hazhara. Afkan, the Gzeres Shavah comes to teach us that so too, someone who eats Kachim when he's Tamei will be subject to an Einish and an Hazhara. Says the Gemara, Bishlama, Rish Lakish Lama Rabbi Yochanan. The Rish Lakish doesn't follow Rabbi Yochanan's approach, because he didn't learn this Gzeir Shava. And as the Mefarshim ask, if he didn't learn the Gzeir Shava, he could learn it now. Why doesn't he learn the Gzeir Shava from Rabbi Yochanan? So Mefarshim say very interesting teretz. The Amoraim in Shas had a Mesoira on how many Gzeir Shavas there are in Halacha. There was a specific number that they had, and they can't have more than that number. Rish Lakish, so to speak, had already filled his quota of Gzeiru Shavis with other Gzeiru Shavis that he learned throughout Shas, and therefore he had no other Gzeiru Shava available to him. He had no opportunity to accept another Gzeiru Shava. However, asked the Gemara, Ela Rabbi Yochanan, my Tamler, Lamek Rish Lakish. Why doesn't Rabbi Yochanan agree with Rish Lakish? So Mefarshim ask, what kind of question is this? Didn't we just say that Rabbi Yochanan had a Gzeir Shava? And as we're explaining, not only did he have a Gzeir Shava, but he actually had a Mesaira on a Gzeir Shava. So why is the Gemara asking, why should Rabbi Yochanan abandon his Gzeir Shava? So I saw two ways of answering this question. One way of answering this question is that the Gemara is asking not that Rabbi Yochanan should abandon his Gzeirah Shavah, but rather the Gemara's question means is that Rav Shlokish learned this thing from the Pasuk of Bechol Kodesh Lo Siga, and the Gemara's question now is, what will Rabbi Yochanan do with the Pasuk of Bechol Kodesh Lo Siga? Another way of understanding this answering this question I saw is that although, as we just said, Rabbi Yochanan indeed did have a Gzeirah Shavah, the Gemara's question still is that why doesn't Rabbi Yochanan, instead of learning it from a Gzeirah Shavah, why doesn't he learn it from an explicit pasuk as Rish Lakish does? Answers the Gemara. Amalach responds Rabbi Yochanan, he needs the pasuk of a Kodesh Lesiga to teach us Hahu Ashar L'Truma. He says that pasuk is coming to teach us that somebody whose tameh may not eat truma. And the question is that even though obviously truma is considered kodesh, but as Tosfos, since the pasuk, Pashup shot in the pasuk, or b'chol kodesh le'siga, is that it's referring to kachim, why would I say that the pasuk is talking about truma, not about kachim? So answers Tosfos. The pasuk, as we said earlier, is referring to a woman who had a child. And the halacha is that a woman who has a child has to wait a certain number of days, go to the mikveh, and she also has to bring karbonis. However, as far as eating truma is concerned, as soon as she becomes tahor, she may eat truma. Whereas, as far as eating karbonis, she may not eat karbonis until she actually brings her karbonis. If the pasuk, says Tosfos, uses the words ad melois yimei tahara, so ad melois yimei tahara obviously says that as soon as she finishes her tahara process, she could do whatever this pasuk says she can do, which obviously refers to truma, because karbonis she would not be allowed to eat until she actually brought her own karbonis. Furthermore, answer the Rishonim, since, as we said a moment ago, Rabbi Yochanan indeed does have a Gzeirah Shavah, so since he has a Gzeirah Shavah to teach us the halacha that a person whose tamei may not eat kachim, so this pasuk must be coming to teach us something else. Ask the Gemara, if Rabbi Yochanan uses this pasuk for truma, but Rish Lakish uses this pasuk to teach us that somebody who's tamei may not eat kachim, ask the Gemara Rish Lakish as haro truma minale, from where will Rish Lakish know the halacha regarding truma? Answers the Gemara, nafkale, he learns it from the pasuk that says ish ish mizerek aron v'tzurua v'zov hu b'kodesh hu mikodesh m'layoichel ad until he becomes tahar. Ezu dover, which food is shava b'zara shel Aaron, is all descendants of Aaron may eat, have oim as a truma. And the pasuk is referring to truma, and the pasuk is teaching us that you may not eat it when somebody is tamei. Ask the Rishonim, what made the Gemara say that the pasuk is referring to truma? The fact that it's referring to something that all descendants of Aaron may eat. Kachim, not all the descendants of Aaron may eat, because women may not eat kachim. Ask the Rishonim, that isn't actually correct, because although women may not eat kachay hakadoshim, the chaz of the shoik of the carbon shlomim may be eaten by the female members of the kohen's family. So why are we saying, ask the Rishonim, that the pasuk is referring specifically to truma? Why don't we say that the pasuk is referring to the chaz of the shoik of the shlomim? Answer the Rishonim, there is a difference between the chaz of the shoik of shlomim versus the truma. The halacha is that if a bas kohen gets married to Yisrael, she may no longer eat truma, and she may no longer eat kachin. However, if that marriage terminates without any children, there's a very big difference. The woman would not be allowed to eat kachim anymore, but she will be able still to eat truma. So we see that truma is a food that's more eaten by the descendants of Aaron. That's why the Gemara, Rav Shlokesh, prefers to say that this pasuk is referring to truma. V'idach, and Rav Yochanan, who already taught us the halacha of truma from the pasuk of B'chol Kodesh Le'siga, how will he reconcile the two psukim? Answers the Gemara, Hahu, the pasuk of Ish Mizera Aharon, Rav Yochanan is going to say, is teaching us that someone can't eat truma when they're tamei. For ha, and this pasuk is coming to teach us, the pasuk of B'chol Kodesh Le'siga is coming to teach us that one can't touch truma when he's tamei. Ask the Rishonim, if one can't touch truma when he's tamei, he certainly can't eat truma when he's tamei. So why do we need two separate psukim, one for touching and one for eating? So the simple teretz, going back to an issue that we discussed in our previous year, is because we have a concept of ein onshim min adin, that even though technically we would be able to learn the halacha of achila from the Gia, but we have a rule of ein onshim min adin, we have to have separate psukim. That's one pshat that I saw. Another pshat, but I saw a number of other pshatim. Another pshat is that actually I could not learn achila from touching, because the halacha is that there is a case where you could eat without touching. The Sfasema says, let's say somebody pushes the food into somebody else's mouth without him touching. That's one pshat that I saw. Another pshat that I saw is that the shear for achila and the shear for negiyah are not exactly are not really the same shear, because the shear for negiyah is a kebetza, the shear for achila is a kezayis. So since they don't have the same shiurim, that's why we have to have separate psukim for these two dinim. Or one more teretz, let's say the truma already became tamei, so there is no iser negiyah in truma that by somebody who's tamei to touch truma that's already tamei. However, there is an iser achila to eat truma tameya by someone who's tamei. Rish Lakish asked the Gemara, we learned earlier that Rish Lakish says that the pasuk of B'chol Kodesh Le'siga is coming to teach us that someone is not allowed to eat food when he, and not allowed to eat kachim when he's tamei. Ask the Gemara, Rish Lakish, hi B'chol Kodesh Le'siga l'hoch yudasa, is this what the pasuk is coming to teach us? Doesn't Rish Lakish say that this pasuk is coming to teach us that somebody's tamei may not touch kachim? Ditmar, as we indeed learned, tamei shenaga b'kodesh, if somebody's tamei touch kachim, Rish Lakish amaroika, Rish Lakish says he's get malchus, Rav Yochanan amaina loika, whereas Rav Yochanan says he doesn't get malchus. Rish Lakish amaloika, Rish Lakish says, why does he get malchus? Because the pasuk says b'chol kodesh le'siga, to teach us that a tamei may not touch kachim. Rav Yochanan on the other hand says, ain loika, he doesn't get malchus, because as he said, as Rabbi Yochanan explained a moment ago, hahu las har l'trumadasa. He explains that this pasuk is teaching us that one may not touch truma while he's tamei, and has nothing to do with touching kachim. So ask the Gemara, if Rabbi Yochanan needs the pasuk, if Rish Lakish needs the pasuk of b'chol kodesh le'siga to teach us that when somebody's tamei, he may not touch kachim, How could he say that the pasuk is coming to teach us that somebody who's tamei may not eat kachim? But as to Rishonim, in understanding Rabbi Yochanan's opinion, it's also somewhat difficult to understand. The pasuk says b'chol kodesh le'siga, which simply understand, and that's actually the way Rish Lakish understands, that the Torah is teaching us that somebody who's tamei may not touch kachim. Rabbi Yochanan goes and says, no, it's not talking about somebody tummy eating kachin, touching kachin, it's talking about somebody tummy touching truma. Why would we say it's preferable to explain it's talking about truma than kachin? So I saw two answers. One answer is that the Torah was more concerned about the touching of truma by somebody who's tamei than it was of the touching of kachin by somebody who's tamei. And the reason, explains the Miri, is as follows. Truma is less severe of an isser than kachin. And therefore the Torah was concerned that someone, if he's going to come to touch truma when he's tamei, may ultimately come to eat it, because it's not so severe of an avera. Whereas the avera of eating kachim when one is tamei is a very significant avera. The Torah saw no reason, explains the Miri, according to Rabbi Yochanan, to prohibit someone tamei from touching kachim. One pshat. Another pshat, Taisus says, is that indeed, it doesn't make sense, says Taisus, that we should be stricter regarding the touching of truma versus the touching of truma. Rather, what the pasuk is teaching us is that if somebody tamei touches truma, he disqualifies the truma, and that's all we need this pasuk for. And that is a more of an important halacha, so to speak, than the halacha of somebody being prohibited according to Rabbi Yochanan from touching kachim. But again, back to our question. Back to the Gemara's question. According to Shlokish, how could we say that the pasuk b'kol kodesh le'siga is coming to teach us that somebody's tummy may not touch, may not eat kachim? Isn't it needed to teach us the halacha regarding touching? Answers the Gemara. Tummy shenaga b'kodesh. The halacha that somebody's tummy is not allowed to touch kachim. Rish Lakish learns, indeed, from the after Rechman b'losh negiya, from the fact that the Torah use the words nageya. That's how we know that halacha. As hara, the isser for somebody tamei not eating kachim, he learns from a different element, from a different aspect, from the Torah, from the fact that the Torah compares eskish kodesh lemigdash, from the Torah putting together the kodesh to migdash. Rav Shlokish learned to teach us that the same then applies, that both, just like a tamei may not enter the base of migdash, so too may a tamei not eat kodesh, because as the pasuk says, "B'chol kodesh le'siga v'hamigdash le'savai." That's how Rish Lakish will teach us that the pasuk is teaching us somebody tamei may not eat kodeshim. Ask the Gemara, "V'kati l'achi hudasa." Still, how can we say that Rish Lakish is saying that the pasuk is coming to teach us that somebody tamei may not eat kodeshim? Hamu b'ayle, doesn't Rish Lakish need the pasuk to teach us that the tamei she'ochel basay kodesh lefnei zrikas damim, that if somebody ate kodeshim, even though it wasn't completed its avoida, there wasn't yet zrikas dam, that there's a chi of malchus? Ditmar, tamei she'ochel basay kodeshim lefnei zrikas damim, Rish Lakish am aloika, Rish Lakish says he gets malchus, Rabbi Yochanan am ain aloika. And Rish Lakish I'm a loiku. Why does Rish Lakish says he gets malchus? Because he says that's what the pasuk teaches us by saying b'kol kodesh le'siga loishna lefnei zrika v'loishna la'achas zrika. There's a chi of malchus for a tamei person eating kachim b'fnei zrika sadam. So how can we say that that's what the limit of the pasuk is? Rav Yochanan Amar, before we go back to Rish Lakish, says ain't a loika, because Rav Yochanan tamei damakra. Tumasai, Tumasai. The pasuk uses the words Tumasai. He had the Gzeri Shava to teach us that someone tamei may not eat kachim. V'chiksev Tumasai. And when the pasuk uses the words Tumasai, it's lachas zrikasul gziv. It's after the zrikas adam. But again, how can Rish Lakish say that somebody tamei may not? How can we say that the pasuk is coming to teach us that somebody tamei can't eat from kachim before Zrikas Adam? We said that this pasuk is teaching us the basic halacha of somebody tamei may not eat kachim. And it says the Gemara, the way Rish Lakish knows this halacha, that not only is there an isser for tamei to eat kachim after Zrikas Adam, but that isser applies even if nei Zrikas Adam. Answers the Gemara, he learns it from the extra b'chol kodesh dafka. That comes to teach us not only after Zrikas Adam, but also before Zrikas Adam. And says the Gemara, Tanya Kavasid Rish Lakish, the pasuk says, B'chol Kodesh Seiga, as Hara La'ichel, teaches us, the Braisa, the Pasuk is teaching us that someone's Tamei may not eat Kachim. Ata Oima Ashara La'Oichel, is the Pasuk coming to teach us that someone Tamei may not eat Kachim? Oy Ein Al Ha'ol Ashara Negeya, maybe the Pasuk is coming to teach us that someone Tamei may not touch Kachim. Tamad Loimer, says the Braisa, the Pasuk says, Bechol Kodesh Loi Siga Vel Migdash Loi Sova, Makish Kodesh Lo Migdash. Ma'am Migdash Dovish Yesh by Natilas Neshama, entering the Beis Hamikdash when somebody's Tamei has a Chiv Karis, Af Kol Dova Shiyesh by Natilas Neshama, so too eating Kachim when one is Tamei has a Chiv Karis. Vi Minagia, if we're going to say that the Pasuk is speaking strictly about Nagia, that's not true. Mi'ika Natilas Neshama, there is no Chiv Karis for touching Kachim or Chuma, whatever we'll say when one is Tamei. It's an Issa Malkus, but it is an Issa Chiv Karis. It must be, says Rish Lakish, says the Braisa, which is exactly what Rish Lakish says, that the Pasuk is teaching us that the Issa Achila of eating, this is the Pasuk that teaches us that someone who's Tamei may not eat Kachim. In our previous Shiurim, we have learned that even though for Chiv, for Issa Lav, there's a punishment of Malkus, we have been learning that there's an exception to that, and that is called a Lav Hanitik Lasei. And a Lav Hanitik Lasei, as we've explained and we'll explain further, there is no Chiv Malkus. As we now will learn, there is actually another type of lav that's connected to the say, but as our Gemara teaches us, with a very different rule. And that's a situation of lav shekidma say. And the way Rashi explains, which is the way we're going to Mitzvashem Be'ezer Hashem learn the Gemara, a lav shekidma say is a lav, unlike a lav anitik say, where the say corrects the lav. The best example is gzela. The Torah says that there's an issa gzela, but the Torah also says v'heishev es gzela. By returning the gzera, one corrects the averi he did, the lav. But then there's a lav that kidma say, that the lav and the assay really are two separate categories, and therefore the lav shekidma say is not, the assay does not correct the lav. And therefore says Rabbi Babachana Amr Rabbi Yochanan, Kol lo say shekidma say, when you have such a situation, the halacha is that it's not considered a lav hanitik lasei and loiken lav, and one gets malchus. Actually, I saw the Mefarshim ask, why isn't every loisa say considered a lav hanitik lasei? Because tshuva could correct the lav. And we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu always is prepared to accept our tshuva. So one teretz that I saw is that we're going to learn another type of lav for which there is no malchus, is a lav shebeklolos. A lav shebeklolos is a lav that doesn't speak to a specific subject, it speaks to general, to many subjects. So the Mefarshim explained, just like a lav shebeklolos doesn't have malchus, similarly, an essay shebeklolos doesn't absolve one from malchus. And since the essay of tshuva is not unique to any specific lav, it's considered an essay shebeklolos where the rule of lav hanitik lasei won't apply. However, I saw from the Belzer Rebbe, using our Gemara, he says, our Gemara says there's a difference between a lav hanitik lasei, where the essay repairs the lav, that there, our Gemara is teaching us there is no Chiv Malkus, versus a Lav Shekid Malasei. And a Lav Shekid Malasei doesn't have the special rule. Since he says the halach is that one always must be doing tshuva, so tshuva is going to be considered in the category of Lav Shekid Malasei, for which there is Malkus. There is another approach to this Gemara that Ritva suggests, that the difference between a Lav Shekid Malasei and a lav hanitik lasei is where is the essay stated. If the essay is stated before the lav is stated, in the Torah versus if the say is stated after the lav is stated in the Torah. But we're going to learn, as we explained from Rashi, it makes a difference if the essay repairs the lav, that's a lav nitik essay. If the essay is independent of the lav, that is what Rabbi Bechana Amar Rabbi Yochanan says, that call loisa say shekidma say loikin alaf. Amar loy. So they said to Rabbi Yochanan, Amrit, did you indeed say this halacha? Amar lu, so he said loy. Amar Rava, said Rava, El Kim Amra, I could swear that he said it, V'ksiva V'tanina. And actually, this halacha is supported by what it says in a pasuk and what we learned in a Mishnah. And as the machlokes have mefarshim how to understand this piece of Gemara. Some say that Reb Yochanan, when he was challenged if he indeed said this halacha, retracted. And therefore Rava said, why are you retracting? The halacha is indeed a correct halacha. The problem with that pshat is that it turns Rabbi Yochanan sort of into a person who vacillates. First he says something, and then when challenged, he backs off. Therefore, other Daruch Haner explains, there was never Rabbi Yochanan himself who backed off. It was rather his Talmidim who reported, who were trying to defend their Rebbe, Rabbi Yochanan, and they said that he had backed off. It was never Rabbi Yochanan himself backing off. And there's actually a nafkamina la'alocha between these two pshatim. The nafkamina la'alocha will be if someone first said something and then he retracts, is he automatically to be considered someone who's a liar? According to the first pshat, not necessarily. According to the second pshat, perhaps. What was the proof that a lav shekidma say there's malchus? Because the pasuk says v'yishalchu min hamachna, what we discussed earlier, there's a mitzvah to say to tell anybody who's tamei has to leave the base of Mikdash, and there's a lav of lo yitamu es machneim. So this is a situation of an asay shekidma lav shekidma asay, and yet in our Mishnah we learned that one of the examples for which there's a chiv is abal Mikdash tamei. So clearly we see that this is a situation that the halacha of a lav shekidma say there is malchus. Why is this considered a lav shekidma say? Because sometimes the say doesn't correct the lav, because the halacha is that let's say someone becomes tamei as he's standing in the Beis HaMikdash. So he wasn't over the lav, he became tamei when he entered the Beis HaMikdash 100% legally. But he still has the essay that he has to leave the base Hamikdash. Actually, there's an interesting machloikis of Rashi in the Ritva when somebody is mekayim the mitzvah of Yishalchu min hamachna. Rashi learns that Ritva learns that somebody is only mekayim the mitzvah of Yishalchu is if he's in the base Hamikdash and he becomes tamei, and he leaves. Rashi, however, learns that one is mekayim the mitzvah of yishalch min hamachna by just not entering the Beis HaMikdash when one is tamei. And this is very relevant to a question that comes up to all of us on an annual basis. We know that there's a mitzvah of tashbisu. We have an obligation of ridding ourselves of all chametz before Pesach. The question is, let's say someone has no chametz. Baruch Hashem has no chametz. Has he been mekayim the mitzvah of tashbisu? According to Rashi, as long as he doesn't have chametz, he was mekayim the mitzvah of tashbisu. According to Ritva, that's not enough. Just like by the Ritva says that in order to be mekayim the mitzvah of yishalchu min hamachna, he has to physically leave the Mokam HaMikdash when he's Tamei, so too will be according to Ritva the halacha that you can only be Mekayim the mitzvah of Tashbisu by physically obtaining chametz and burning it. And that in fact is the minig why we put together 10 pieces of bread and burn them on Erev Pesach, so we should fulfill actively the mitzvah of Tashbisu. So ask the Gemara, if our Mishnah, based on the Pasuk, teaches us clearly that amidst the lav shekidma say there is a chiv malchus, why did Rabbi Yochanan retract when he was challenged? Elamai tamaka hadabei, answers the Gemara Mishnah kashle oinus. The halacha is that if someone, Rachman al-Tzlan, violates a woman, as long as the girl was a Nara for sure, and according to some Tanoim, even if she was a Ketana, the Torah says he has to pay a fine, and the Torah also says that he has to keep her as a wife. Loi Sia Leisha, she has to be his wife. Loi Yuchel Shalcha Koyomav, and he can never divorce her. The halacha says the Braisa, if an Oinus Giresh, if somebody who violated a woman divorced her, so says the Brice, Im Yisrael who, if he's Yisrael, Mach Savein Eloika, he has to take her back, and won't get Malchus once he takes her back. Im Kain who, however, if he's a Kain, that the halacha is that a Kohen may not marry a Grusha, Loika V'ena Machzer. He has to divorce, he gets Malchus because he can't bring her back, and he was over the laugh of La Yucha L'Shalcha Kal Yomav. The Mefarshim asks, the question that the Gemara is asking is from the beginning of this Braisa, where the Braisa says that you don't get Malchus, even though this is a loisa say shekidma say, which is what that you don't get malchus, which was the difficulty on Rabbi Yochanan, who said that a loisa say shekidma say, you do get malchus. So asked Mefarshim, why did the Gemara have to quote the second part of the Braisa about the Kohen? That has nothing to do with our discussion of laf shekidma say. Answer the Mefarshim, if not for the second part of the Braisa, we would perhaps think that this divorce is entirely not a valid get, because the Torah doesn't want us to divorce her. That's why the Gemara quotes the second part of the Braisa, that clearly indicates that the get is a good get, and that's why by Kohen Loika V'Eina Machzer. And now we have a question, if so, why by Yisroel Machzer V'Eina Loika? Also the Mefarshim ask, why does the Kohen have the din of Loik V'Eina Machzer? Why don't we say the essay of Loisia L'Isha, that she must remain his wife, is Doicha the Loisa say of a Kohen marrying a Grusha? So Tosfos answers that the only time we say essay Doicha Loisa say is where the essay has to be fulfilled. However, since the halacha is that let's say this woman would choose that she doesn't want to be married to the man who violated her, the halacha is she doesn't have to marry her, she doesn't have to marry him, therefore this is not a situation of essay doicha loisa say. But I saw other mefarshim give a different teretz. The halacha, the Rashba asks a question, why when someone who violates a woman marries her, does he not make a bracha? He should make the bracha that he's b'mekayim the mitzvah of loisi elisha. Answers the Rashba, we don't make a bracha that came from an Aveira. It's similar to a mitzvah baba Aveira. He goes and violates a woman, and the Torah says that such a man has to remain, has to marry her. That's not a reason to make a bracha. So some of us want to suggest the same thing here. We don't say essay doicha loisa say by a situation where the essay came about because somebody did an Aveira, they violated a woman. But now goes the Gemara to its question, which is what the Gemara says was Rabbi Yochanan's question. The Braisa said that if Oinus, if somebody, if Yisrael violated a woman, and then he divorces her, he takes her back and he doesn't get Malchus. But according to Rabbi Yochanan, Im Yisrael hu machs vein aloika mai, isn't this a situation of loisa se shekidma sehu? And according to the way Rabbi Yochanan started this sugya, v'loki shiget Malchus, says the Gemara, this is what got Rabbi Yochanan to want to retract his opinion. So why indeed is this not a question? Why indeed, if we have a rule that essay shekidmu, lav shekidma say, there is Malchus, why over here is there no Malchus? Answers Ula, lo yoyim leisil ishebayinus. Because really the Torah should not have had to say the word leisil ishebayinus. Because the ligma, we can learn it from a mighty shemra. The halacha is if somebody marries a woman and he then defames her, that she loimatzi lebitcha psulim, the Torah says he has to pay a knas, a mei kesef, and there too the halach is loisil isha loyuchel shalcha. And the Gemara says as follows, ma mati shemra shloyosa maisa. Mati shemra just spoke, he didn't do anything. Still, Amrachman, the Torah says, v'loisil isha, oinus, someone who actually violated a woman, like Kolshkein, that the halacha ought to be that he has to keep her. So if so, why does the Torah say loisia leisha by an oinus? Teaches us the Gemara, teaches us Ula, and ena inyan lefanav. It's not here to teach us the basic halacha. Tanei inyan leachrav. That the pasuk, by adding these words, is coming to teach us that it's considered in the category of a lava nitikla, say that the halacha is emgirish yachzer. So what the Gemara is answering is that this pasuk of loisia leisha, loisiuch leshach kayamav, that the Torah mentions by oinus is superfluous. And the reason the Torah mentioned it is that even though technically it's not a lav nitik lasei, it's actually in the category of lav shekidma lasei, we should treat it, the Torah says, like a lav hanitik lasei, for which there is no chiv maltis. Ask the Gemara, this kavachaymer is a difficult kavachaymer to accept. Vakati oinus from Moti Shemra loy gomar. We shouldn't be able to learn oinus from Moti Shemra because we could ask on this kavachoyma dikla mifra mal Moti Shemra shekain loy kemishal. Moti Shemra is a very unique situation. As we have been learning, there's a rule of kimlei b'drabmanei, and kimlei b'drabmanei teaches us that we don't give two punishments. A Moti Shemra is an exception to that rule, and by Moti Shemra the halach is that he pays, as I said, the knas, and he also gets malchus. So we can't learn from Moti Shemra to other areas of halacha, says the Gemara. The way to understand, the way the Gemara attempts to modify what Ula says. Ella, says the Gemara, lo yoyim leisia leish b'Moti Shemra. It was not necessary, suggests the Gemara, to say that one leisia leisha leyuchel leshamcha by Moti Shemra, because ligmam oinus, we should learn the halacha of Moti Shemra from an oinus. And learn as follows. If by oinus the halacha is that you only have to pay knas, but there is no malchus. Still, amrachmana v'leisia leisha Moti Shemra, that has this chumra of loika mishalim, loik kolshkein, certainly the halacha is that loisia leisha loyuchel leshacha v'lam nema. So why did the Torah say it by Moti Shemra? Says the Gemara, "Emeini inyan Moti Shemra." If it's not here to teach us halacha regarding Moti Shemra, for it is obvious to niel inyan oinus, as we've learned that there's one of the darkei halamudim. "Emeini inyan l'davazeh to niel inyan acher," and therefore we're going to take this pasuk and apply it by an oinus. But by oinus, the Torah already told us, "Loisil isha loyuchel l'shalcha." So it may in Yilafanov, Tanei in Yilachrov, to teach us the halach is that it should be considered a lava nitik lasei. Ask the Gemara, a Moti Shemra minus namila gomer. We can't learn the halach of a Moti Shemra from an oinus, because the ikla mifrach, mal oinus shekain osa maisa. An oinus actually did a maisa. Moti Shemra didn't do a maisa. So we're back to where we started. How do we know that, why we say that this pasuk is superfluous? As says the Gemara, there is no reason for the Torah to tell us that she should become his wife by Moti Shemra, because I explained that Moti Shemra is referring to a person who is already married to this woman. So it's not here to teach us the halacha regarding Moti Shemra. Suggest the Gemara, because we already know that an oinus is, has to keep her as a wife, because the Torah says so, Tanei in Lachrov, that it's considered a lav hanitik lasei. But says the Gemara, yes, we've established that loisia leisha is not needed to teach us that the Moti Shemra takes her as his wife, because they're already married. But why don't we say, v'me'aimim ein inyan l'fana the Moti Shemra, Tanei inyan l'achrov the day d'loi laki. Yes, we'll say that the pasuk doesn't need to say v'loisia leisha regarding a Moti Shemra. So we'll say it's extra, and it's coming to teach us that the Moti Shemra who divorces his wife takes her back. And the Moti Shemra who divorces his wife takes her back. He won't get malchus. It's a lava nitik lasei. But how will I know that that halacha applies to an oinus? The Brice has quoted this din by oinus. Answers the Gemara Nechanami. The pasuk is coming to teach us halacha regarding Moti Shemra. However, says the Gemara, v'ashi oinus v'gomaminei. We learned the halacha of an oinus from a Moti Shemra. Ask the Gemara, how can we learn the halacha of Oinus and Moti Shemra? But my government, How do you want to learn the halacha of oinus from Maitzi Shemra? Ibe kav chaymer mamatzinu. We want to use the kav chaymer approach. We want to use the tzad shava approach. Ikel amifrach. We've said malam Maitzi Shemra. Maitzi Shemra is fundamentally different than an oinus because a Maitzi Shemra lo yasa maisa. And that's why perhaps by Maitzi Shemra we'll say it's considered a lavanitik lasei, for it's not such a serious act. Whereas an oinus that involves an act, perhaps it'll be stricter, and it'll be considered a laf shekidma say that the halach is that there should be malchus. Ela amarava, how do we know indeed that a oinus is the halach is that if the Yisrael takes a back, he doesn't get malchus? Because the Torah uses the words kol yomav, and the Torah by using the words kol yomav, the Torah says leyuchal shachol kol yomav, comes to teach us amad v'hachser, take a back. The extra words kol yomav come to teach us b'am avakser. So what the Gemara is teaching us is that actually a lav shekidma say you do get malchus. Only when the essay repairs the lav is the halacha that you don't get malchus. That's considered a lav hanitik lasei. So why by oinus is it different? The words kol yomav come to teach us that this should be considered in the same category of a lav hanitik lasei, and if therefore the Yisrael who violated a woman, marries her, and divorces her, if he takes her back, he doesn't get malchus. Amalei rapapa l'rova, v'loi dama lav d'lav d'chsima. As we have been learning, the model for where there is a chi of malchus is the lav of chsima. A lav of chasima is not a lav shekidma say, and therefore ask the Gemara, if it's not a lav shekidma say, there should be no chi of malchus. Answers the Gemara, Amalei Rapapa, Rava answers Rapapa, Bishum the kosbe rachman asay yisera migra gara. Just because the Torah adds an asay besides a lav, that should diminish the chi of malchus, and therefore an asay shekidma lav, a lav shekidma say, still retains its chi of malchus. Ask the Gemara if we're going to follow that line of reasoning. Ihachi lav shenitik lasei. The loch ought to be by lav shenitik lasei. We should say mishum the kosba rachman asei. Just because the Torah mentioned an asei yisera migra gara, if we're going to take this line of reasoning, amalei. So he responds, hahulan atkula lav hudasa. There's a difference, and this is what we've been saying our entire shir. There's a difference between a lav hanitik lasei versus a lav shekidma asei. A lav hanitik lasei, says the Gemara, that say repairs the lav, and therefore there is no din malchus because he didn't, the avera is gone. Whereas an a lav shekidma asei, the essay doesn't repair the lav. The avera was violated, and that's why there's a chiyuv malchus. And Rabbi Baruch Tam explains this Gemara very beautifully. Our Gemara is saying that the reason a lav hanitik lasei there is no chiyuv malchus is because the essay repairs the lav. But the Gemara previously said that the reason is because it's not similar to the lav of chsima. So what is the reason? And furthermore, if somebody by lav hanitik lasei, so as we're going to learn in the next Gemara, if one doesn't do the mitzvah sasei, at whatever point, as we're going to learn in a moment, the halach is, he gets malchus. But we now need to understand, why? It's still not similar to the lav of chasima. And we've been learning that the lav of chasima is the model. So says Rabbi Baruch Tam, there are two types of lav hanitik lasei. There's one, the example that we've always been giving, the lav of gzela, where the essay corrects the lav. In such a situation, he says, if someone is a mekayim dasei, let's say he burns the item, so he no longer could do veheshev as a gzela, such a person has been over the lav. But then there's another type of lav hanitik lasei. That is like noiser. The loch is that if somebody should not leave over from the kabbonis, but if he left over, he should burn it. The reburning of the noiser doesn't repair the lav. He already was over the lav. Just as a gzeres akosif, that for that lav there is no malchus because it's not doimed to the lav of chesima. So in other words, Rabbi Baruch Tam saying that we have to analyze every lav hanitik l'asei. Is it a say that repairs the lav, and therefore in a situation where the essay will not be repairing the lav, or the essay is no longer available, we burnt the item that was stolen, there the halach is that there'll be malchus. Whereas in certain cases where the essay doesn't repair the lav, and yet the Gemara calls a lav and nitik l'essay, that lav there'll be never malchus for. There's a machloikus, a lav hanitik l'essay. When is it considered that a person could get malchus, as we just discussed? Is it only in a situation where he actively no longer could do the essay? The example I just gave, that he burnt the item that he stole, so he no longer could do the essay of the Heshev Zegzela. But until then, until he actually burns it, he could do the essay. It could be many years after he did the lav. The halach is, it's still considered a lav and a tikla say. That's one approach. Another approach is that if Bezdin tells the person, you did this aveira, correct what you did by doing the mitzvah say. If he doesn't follow what Bezdin says, it's considered that he violated the lav and he gets malchus. The way to explain these two terminologies, these two concepts that I just mentioned, is the first concept is called bitloy v'loy bitloy. As long as he wasn't mevatel, as long as he didn't take away the ability to do the mitzvah sasei, it's considered lav anitik lasei. And the second approach is called kimoy v'loy kimoy. As soon as he violates Bezdin's warning to do the asei, it's no longer lav anitik lasei. So ask the Gemara. What Rava just says, that a lava nitik lasei is considered a lava nitik lasei, in the case by an oinus, it's considered a lava nitik lasei, because he always has the ability to marry her. Elamanda ama kima v'loi kimoi, why, Mayakala Maimer, why is it considered a lava nitik lasei as soon as Bezdin tells him that he has to remarry her? If he didn't remarry her, he should get malchus. Answers the Gemara, Mi'hutana. This whole Gemara is following the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan. Harvamer Rabbi Yochanan Latana. Rabbi Yochanan is the man dama that holds bitloy chayiv v'loy bitloy potter. It's not dependent on what Bezdin tells him. It depends, as long as he could do the mitzvah say, it's considered a lav anitik lasei. And therefore, in the case of the woman that he divorced, who he first violated, he always has the ability to remarry her, and therefore it's legitimately considered a lav anitik lasei. The Tana Tanaka made Rabbi Yochanan. The Gemara explains, the Mefarshim explained, there were Tanoim that would mention in front of Meroim different brises. The brises says, Kometz asei, lois asei, shesh be kum asei, kiem eser shabai potter, bitel eser shabai chayiv. If he fulfilled the mitzvah of say, he's potter from malchus, otherwise he's chayiv. Amalei, so he said, my comment, in the way the Rashash explains the Gemara, is that the wording of this brisa seems to be contradictory. Kiyim potter like kiyim chayiv. Bitl chayiv like bitl potter. Which means that the brisa seems to be combining the two concepts. Is it dependent on bitel, that he should no longer be able to do the mitzvah say, then and only then is he considered having violated the lav? Or is it dependent that he violated Bezda's warning? Tani, and he responded, bitloy v'loy bitloy. The right version of this brisa is that it depends, as long as he can be kind the mitzvah say, even though Bezda warned him and he didn't follow their warning, it's still considered lav and nitik lasei. However, Rish Lakish Amar, Rish Lakish disagrees, and he says kima v'loy kima, that according to him, as soon as Bezdin tells him to do the mitzvah say, and he doesn't follow their instructions, even though technically this is considered a laf hanitik lasei, the halach is that he will get malchus because he didn't follow Bezdin's instructions to do the mitzvah say regarding this laf.